Today we are speaking with the president and CEO of Right at Home, Brian Petronic. Brian, welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thanks for everybody that's attending, and thank you, Brad.
All right. Good. So today we're going to be talking about caregiver recruitment and retention. You know, let me just start off, Brian. You've been with Right at Home for nearly 20 years. How has caregiver recruitment and retention evolved over the years?
Well, it's a great question to start the conference out with. You know, it's always been incredibly important. We talk here about our business. There's two things that have to happen in our businesses every day for them to be successful. One is we never stop selling, and two, we never stop recruiting. And so we've talked about that for 20 years. So really the only thing that's changed is there's been a little bit of a shift in the early days. It was hard. People worried more about where am I going to get clients from? Do people really know about this business? Do they understand that these types of services exist? And to be fair, we were introducing private pay home care services to referral sources and other people 20 years ago for the first time. You know, they had never used it before, didn't even really know it existed. So today, that's not an issue. Everybody knows about private pay home care. Everybody knows about these services. No one's very concerned about where clients are going to come from, you know, today and into the future because of the shifting demographics and all the changes that are occurring in the healthcare space. So, you know, back 20 years ago, kind of for the first half of where this industry is, the second half is the next 20 years in front of us. The first half, we didn't worry as much about caregiver recruitment because we just didn't have that many issues recruiting caregivers. We usually were able to find enough good quality caregivers to build a business. So I think for the next, today's current environment and then for the next 20 years, that's going to be much more of our focus is creating a much different environment for our caregivers, having to interact with those caregivers in a different way. We're going to be working across four different generational groups from the traditionalists to the baby boomers to, Gen X and the millennials. And so they all think a little bit different. They all behave a little bit different. So we're just going to have to continue to push and become more sophisticated on how we recruit and how we retain this care force as we go forward.
Sure, that makes sense. You said something that was interesting there. You know, I read that. You know, right now we have, I think, five different generations that are in the workforce right now. And so that being our current environment, how do you see it from an industry perspective in today's environment with regard to recruitment and retention? What's working, what's not?
We've done a fair bit of research on this, and personally I've done a fair bit of research on this because it's the same issue on the client side as well as the franchise owner side. So we have franchise owners in our system that are representative of nearly four different generations. And so the one thing that all research and all academics that study this type of thing notes with all generations is people want to find meaning in their work. That's the one thing that's not different. It's a little less important with the traditionalist, which is the aging population today, the post-depression era generation. For a lot of them, it was just the ability to get a job and stay at that employer for, 30, 40 years, but they still wanted to find meaning. It's much more important as you get to these other generation groups, find meaning in their work. So, that's the one nice thing about home care is we do provide a lot of value. There's a lot of inherent meaning just in the work that we do, both as franchise owners and our office staff, as well as our care staff. So, as we go forward and we continue to construct our tools for recruiting and retaining our employees, we're going to have to put a lot of focus on that meaning and how we provide more meaning and how we provide that value for individuals as they're going out. And, because this is not necessarily the easiest job in the world at any level, whether you're providing care, you work in the office staff, or, you own the agency itself. So, tying that value together for all involved and the meaning is incredibly important.
Yeah, you know, you said something there with regard to the caregiver workforce. You know, I've heard some people refer to the workforce as unskilled, and I can imagine you've probably got some feelings about that. Why don't you tell me about that?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. Depending, so when you talk about unskilled or people referring to it as unskilled, I think one of the things that's occurring and has occurred in the last few years is the media is not particularly portraying this workforce in a positive light. And to some degree, they're doing that to drive attention onto the industry itself and onto employers. So they like to use terms in the media like unskilled and, you know, low skilled or whatever types of workers. And again, it's kind of fitting a narrative as they're trying to, you know, drive change in employment laws or whatever. So that's fine. But we at Right at Home and a lot of our competitors, and even with our association, the Home Care Association of America, we've talked in the last couple of years that we've got to change this narrative. We've got to stop referring to these individuals as low skilled or, you know, similar types of terms, because that's not helping the situation at all. And so, you know, if you just look at the term low skilled, there isn't a tremendous amount of schooling or training that needs to happen for these individuals to be able to go work in the home environment. So from a, you know, you're not an engineer or whatever, you're going to take care of people, but there's still a lot of, it may not involve a lot of high end skills, but it involves a lot of good communication, ability to recognize changes in clients' conditions and report those. I mean, these individuals are really the first line of defense, if you will, for changes within the healthcare system or changes that are occurring within the client, you know, client's environment or with the client themselves that can trigger really positive interventions that keep people out of the hospital. And so one of the things, and this is kind of what we're trying to communicate to policymakers and to the media, is we need more people to be taken care of in the home environment. One of the things that our government and our insurance companies and everybody's trying to do in the U.S. healthcare system is drive costs out of healthcare. Well, we all know the cheapest place to take care of people is in their home environment. So we need to push people in the home environment. But if we're going to do that, we need to make sure that our workforce is very tied. They're partners in our care process. They're the eyes and ears. They're the optics. They're really, in some cases, the only optics into that home environment to know and report what's going on. So they have to be trained and understand things that are incredibly important, like as mentioned, change of conditions and those types of things. So I think the term low-skilled or unskilled is a terrible term. It's something that we've got to stop as an industry, stop using. We've got to put pressure on the media and others. Again, while I understand, you know, so the political messaging and what, you know, the change they're trying to affect, it's not helping from a recruitment standpoint, and it's not helping in other ways. We have to build this workforce up, not tear them down.
Yeah, thank you for that. I knew that you were rather passionate about that, especially when people are referring to the people that we count on the most, you know, as being that way. And so I appreciate you clarifying that. Let me switch gears a little bit and ask you a different question with regard to, you know, you'd mentioned about policymakers and so forth. So how does legislative involvement impact recruitment and retention, or how could it impact it? And are there any opportunities for our lawmakers to help the industry when it comes to caregiver recruitment and retention?
Yeah, absolutely. There should be. So I'll try not to take a lot of time with this answer, but I need to put a little bit of context behind some of what I'm going to say here. So if you understand that the macro environmental changes that are happening right now in the U.S., and actually this is all over the world, but we'll just focus on the U.S. for today,
the baby boom generation is the generation that's causing all of this havoc, so to speak, within the business community and the healthcare industry. So the baby boom generation is the group that just hit 65, the leading edge of the baby boom generation just hit 65 a few years ago, and it's going to go on for the next 20 to 25 years. So what's going to happen is we're going to see, you know, people refer to it as the age wave or the graying of America.
Silver tsunami, you've heard a lot of those terms probably. So what's happened is after the World War II, there was a huge increase in birth rates. That created the baby boom generation. The baby boom generation now is the leading edge is, I think, 70 or 71, something like that. So for the next 20 to 25 years, we're going to see our population get very old. And at the same time, we're, through technological advancements and all of those types of things, we're keeping people alive longer. So not only are we going to have more people over the age of 65, we're going to have them with us much longer than even 30 years ago, as longevity is increasing. The other thing that the baby boom generation did not do, or, you know, in addition to just being huge as a population, that generational group quit having kids. So, in fact, birth rates dropped almost 50% with that generation from the generation prior. So what's then happened is it's created this huge drop-off. So it is like a wave where, you know, you think about a typical wave, there's a, you know, the leading edge of the wave, and then there's the crest, and then it falls off. Well, that's exactly the way the baby boom generation is. So what that means is when you don't replace the, you know, when you don't quit having quit kids, you don't replace the tax base behind you. You also don't replace the workforce behind you. So we've got a whole lot of people over the age of 65 or will have. They're all going to be aging in the home environment and getting health care in the home environment, and we're going to need a lot more workers to do that, and we're going to need taxes to be able to support all of those entitlement programs and the cost of all of those types of things. So anyway, how does this get to your answer? Your question, Brad, is there's a lot of focus right now by the government on the provision of care itself, how, you know, the Medicare Advantage programs or managed care or value care or whatever. There's a lot of things that Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, as well as our policymakers in Washington, they're doing a lot on the payment side and the care provision side. They're not doing as much on the workforce. So we're trying to get, you know, through our lobbyists, through our association, and through others in the industry, we're trying to get our policymakers to realize that a lot of the policies that are being put through right now or being proposed right now, while at face value they look like they help the employee or they look like they help recruitment, they actually hurt. So we're trying to get in front of individuals and trying to have really, you know, meaningful conversations about the things that we need as an industry and our government want, because they know that more care is going to be pushed in the home environment. So are there positive policies that can be put in place? Do that. There's tax breaks. There's dollars that could be given towards individuals for training and those types of things, or agencies could receive federal funding to help with, you know, even help offset wages and those types of things. So there's a lot of really cool things that could be done, but we've got to be able to get in front of policymakers and on a consistent basis and be able to frame these conversations to them in a meaningful way. And we're starting to do that a lot more. So it's not going to happen tomorrow, and it's, you know, it might take a few years, but I think there's so many drivers that are economic drivers that our government's having to look at right now. They're going to have to address this. So I think there's going to be an opportunity for us to have some really meaningful conversations as an industry and as a country about this going forward.
Okay, good. Fantastic. You know, next week I'm going to be interviewing Stacey Beekler, who is going to be taking a deeper dive into what Right at Home specifically from a tactical type of thing is doing with regard to recruitment and retention of caregivers. Can you talk at a macro level about our system for people that might be considering joining us, what we are doing with regard to attracting caregivers to our brand?
Yeah, and I think next week's call is going to be great. Stacey's fantastic.
She does a great job and very, very passionate about our caregiver experience. But on a high level, and if you join the call next week, you'll hear this more detailed, but at a high level, we're very much an experience-based company. So what that means is that we study all aspects of our care and our working environment for our caregivers. So when you think about an experience, a company that focuses on experience, there's a lot of research and articles out there and books written about how customers go through a kind of a sequence of how they interact with a company and its products and services. And the same with an employee. An employee goes through a series of interactions when they work for somebody. So if you think about it, we'll stick on the employee side here for a second. It's really simple. You go through an application process. You learn about a company's hiring. You go through an application process. You get hired. You get onboarded. Then you get integrated into the organization, and then you work with that organization for your period of time, and then you're exited for whatever reason, whether you leave or whatever. There's an exit process that ultimately happens for employees at some point. So organizations that think about every one of those interactions, thinks about the application, thinks about the hiring process, thinks about onboarding, and studies all of those to try to figure out how can you improve each one of those interactions, that's an organization that's focused on the holistic experience. So that's what we do at Right at Home. We focus on, we actually call it Right Care, and it includes both client and caregiver experiences. But in summation, what we say kind of on a high level is it's really important to be the provider of choice in your local community, and it's really important to be the employer of choice in your local community. So to be the provider of choice or the employer of choice, you have to really think through everything that you're doing and all of those experience touch points to make sure that you're creating a positive experience for individuals that are coming into the organization. So that's what we're doing. We're focused on becoming the provider of choice and the employer of choice. And so there's a lot of tactical level things. There's a lot of details that go into a lot of best practices and things for people to think about. And the nice thing about it is when you create an experience, that experience can be unique for your office or your individual location. So if you open up in Chicago, the experience that you create might be different than somebody that opens up a Florida an office in Florida. So you personalize it based on your team, your own things, but there's elements to it that need to be consistent. So that's really what we're focusing on, is becoming the provider of choice and the employer of choice in our chosen markets.
Awesome. Good. You know, I talk to a lot of people, as I'm sure you do, that are considering going into business for themselves. They like the Right at Home brand. They like the top ratings that we have. They like our performance that we have. A lot of good reasons to want to join one of the leaders in the industry, if not the leader in the industry. In your mind right now, when I get this question, and that is, I don't know if I want to become a Right at Home owner or an in-home care owner at all, because I'm just afraid I won't be able to attract caregivers. I think there's a crisis. There's just not enough of them out there right now. Is that how you view the playing field today?
Is it something that I'm strategically am I concerned about? Absolutely. But not really any more than there's other aspects of the business that I'm concerned about. But, you know, I always come back to, and I've had lots of conversations with people over the years, a good business, and when I say good business, a healthy business that provides, great services in the community and a great return for the business owner, I usually have somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 to 150 caregivers working at any given time. Now, you don't open up your doors with 100 caregivers for sure. You'll grow into that as the business grows and you add clients and you add scale. But you can have a really solid, thriving home care business with, you know, 100 to 150 caregivers.
So if you think about the community that you're in and how big it is and all the people that are out there and really some of the, you know, the unique opportunities that we have, which I'll mention here in a second. So finding 100, 150, 200 really good quality caregivers is not that huge of a issue as sometimes it's made out to be. Do you have to be focused on it? Do you have to create a better experience than individuals down the street? Absolutely. And one of the things that I will tell you is, you know, I've been at Red Home for 20 years. I've been in this industry for longer than that. So I've been in the private pay home care industry since the early 90s. You'd be hard pressed to find anybody that has that much experience in just the private pay industry because it really wasn't around prior to that. But I remember when I first came into this industry a long time ago, somebody said to me, somebody that had been in for a couple of years and was very successful. And they said, you know, the secret to this business is caregivers are going to work for the agency that keeps them busy. So I'll say that again. Caregivers are going to work for the agency that keeps them busy. So because people want to work. And because we run a contingent staffing model here, you have to make sure that you have a robust growing business. So when you recruit caregivers, you have a place to put them. You have clients to assign them to, and you have work for them. So what happens a lot of times, and it becomes sort of a self-fulfilling, and this is why sometimes people will say, my gosh, I'm just having such a hard time finding caregivers. They create an environment that actually is counterintuitive. So in other words, they say to themselves, my God, I'm having a hard time finding caregivers, so I'm going to stop selling. I'm going to stop trying to get new clients in the door. And then they have a hard time finding caregivers. And so it becomes kind of this self-fulfilling prophecy where if you want to hire caregivers, what you actually need to do is go out and sell harder and make sure you have more clients that are coming into the door. Because when that caregiver does walk in and says, I want to work here, you want to be able to say, great, we'll be able to process you, get you trained and ready to go within the next 2 to 3 days. And when we do, here's 40 hours, here's 30 hours. Or whatever that you can go work. Because we know statistically, if you can get a caregiver to work within the first 3 to 4 days of getting hired, their longevity skyrockets, meaning they stay with you much, much, much longer than if they have to wait around for a couple of weeks for a case to show up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it goes back to what you had said before with regard to never stop selling, never stop recruiting. I think that plays into it perfectly.
Yeah.
It's a concern in the sense, to go back to your original question, it's a concern in the sense that we are putting a lot more time and effort and energy into hiring, you know, people like Stacy and adding to her team and doing all kinds of different things as an organization to really get more sophisticated from a recruiting and retention standpoint. But you know what? We still have 4 generations, including the baby boomers that are great caregivers. And so we're doing some unique things. I'm not really going to go into it on this call, but we're doing some unique things, across the generations and specifically in the older generation to kind of create a new workforce for us as an organization. So, you know, exciting times ahead.
Yeah, and it'll be exciting to listen to what Stacy has to say to give some detail behind some of the strategies that we're employing here that really put our owners at an advantage over the competition, and that it is something that we think about on a daily basis of how we can be better at the recruiting and the retention of it, the caregivers. So let me, in the last 3 minutes here that we've got left, Brian, and again, thank you for your time today. I really do appreciate it. I hope everybody else is finding this information useful and interesting. I'm just going to give you a blank canvas here, and I'm just going to ask you, what do you see the outlook going forward being with regard to caregiver recruitment and retention?
I'll answer that, and it's going to actually apply a little bit more broadly as well. I think, again, we're going to have to, as an organization and as a system, we're going to have to become even more sophisticated. We're going to have to continue to tweak our model, to try different things. There is not going to be one solution that's going to solve this issue. We're not going to be able to say, okay, here it is. Here's the one thing that you can do, and all of a sudden all of your caregiver concerns are going to be alleviated. That's just not going to happen. Every market's different. Dynamics are different within individual offices, within their markets. So we're going to have to continue to try a lot of different things. As a corporation, as a franchise organization, we're going to continue to develop tools. You're going to take those tools and put them into your toolbox, and you're going to have to try some different tools. And you know, one thing might work for a while, and then you're going to have to add some other things. And, you know, so that's just going to kind of be the nature of the business going forward. And when I said I'll tie it to a broader, I think it's safe to say that's going to be the nature of the business going forward, really in all aspects. This is the healthcare industry is changing rapidly. There's just a lot of things that are happening that we're trying to keep up with and stay in front of, and you know, trying to bring a lot of innovation in and all of those types of things. So the nice part of being, you know, with the franchise system is that if the franchisor is good and has resources, they'll be able to help and keep up with all of those things so that the individual franchise owner doesn't need to do all that heavy lifting. So we can do the research, we can do the heavy lifting, and then deliver programs and deliver things down into the system that can be utilized at the unit level. But you know, it's a fantastic business. I've been in home care for a long time, and I'll tell you, it's one of the most meaningful things that you can possibly do. You know, you get to go to a lot of client funerals, unfortunately, but at the same time, when you go to those funerals and you listen to family members talk about how right at home impacted someone's life in the last year or two, or what right at home meant to the family or to the client, you realize you're really touching people's lives. So it's a fantastic business, but it's a fantastic business that's coming in, you know, it's becoming a more challenging, complicated environment to some degree, but as an organization, we're prepared for that, and we'll help our system through it like we have, you know, for all of these numbers of years. So we'll have to continue to evolve, and we'll have to continue to change, and we'll have to continue to get better at every aspect of what we're doing, and the future looks incredibly bright.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Brian. I appreciate you sharing your thoughts today. You know, this is certainly an industry where if people are looking to do something meaningful with their life, that opportunity exists. And I'm just going to continue this conversation next week with Stacy Dinkler. You know, you mentioned the toolbox. She's got a big old toolbox of strategies that we are sharing with our ownership, all the right-at-home franchisees. And we'll take a deeper dive into the caregiver recruitment and retention, and what specifically Right at Home is doing to help the franchise owners stay ahead of the game in that regard. So, again, thank you so much, Brian, and thank you, everybody, for joining us today. And until next week, have a productive week.
Great. Thanks, everybody. Hope it was helpful.